mine till yours can open too. 'Cause I'm gonna stand by you.
For years, the media has largely ignored the stories of Americans and lawful residents victimized by open borders. To all of those hurting out there, I repeat to you these words. We hear you, we see you, and you will never, ever be ignored again.
Trump follows through on his promise to get serious about immigration enforcement. That means at the border. That means in dealing with the way we handle refugees. There's a pause on this refugee program. And I will tell you, when we found out yesterday that President Obama brought more than 500 refugees into the United States on Wednesday, last Wednesday, in one day. That's his parting gift to America, 500 plus refugees in one day. We thought to ourselves, of course he did. Of course he's going to do this, because they're not going to live in Palm Springs, wherever he buys his vacation house. They're certainly not going to be sharing a room with Mother Robinson. Michelle's not going to be tutoring them in her free time. But he wants everyone else to have to live with this and pay for it, by the way, because, you know, when you get $1 million a speech, you'll probably be fine. But for the rest of the Americans that have to send their kids to public schools and see the culture of America turned upside down, inside out, you know, they're just going to have to suck it up. This is unbelievable. But the good news is the construction of the wall will begin, he promised, within months. It seems like a few months. They've already gotten specs for the wall. Which is music to my ears. And they've added, check this out. Well, they're in the process of adding 5,000 new Border Patrol agents at the border and 10,000 new Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, 10,000, to carry out the deportations. Good stuff. Joining us now, one of my absolute favorite people ever, and I say that very rarely, Dave Bossie. I think I've known Dave... I don't know.
Don't say it.
Okay. Dave, I've known you for decades, man. It's been a long time. We were there at the beginning of the fight against the Clintons, okay? Back in 93 or whatever the heck that was. And you're just you're one of my favorites, and also you're one of just a couple of people who is really responsible, other than the candidate himself and a few others, responsible for this victory. You know, obviously the people who turned out to vote, but you put together that grueling schedule for Trump over the 2 months before the election. You was a mastermind behind schedules, rallies, keeping that momentum going. Our hats are just off to you. You're just awesome, and thank you for what you did for this country.
Well, thank you so much. And it was an honor to work for the president during the campaign. And you're right. I mean, it was the candidate and his message. But it was also the ferocity of his campaign, his intensity, just the sheer will, the sheer force of his desire to win, really played a huge role in this. And so I'm excited to have been a part of it, and I'm so excited. You know, look, you talk about 10,000 new ICE or new Border Patrol agents, and how about the fact that the current agents are going to get to enforce the actual law.
Right, and that's what they want to do. We had Chris Cabrera on yesterday from one of the largest Border Patrol unions near the Rio Grande, and he said, you know, they're excited. They're excited they have a president who supports their mission, and they're excited to be working and doing their jobs. It was a great interview. He just went on and on about how the agents have an extra spring in their step, he said.
They're the ones who have handcuffs instead of wearing the handcuffs. And that's the most important thing. So we're going to have actual law enforcement enforcing laws, and then more of them, and we're going to have a wall. Finally, after 8 years of an open border disaster for this nation, we're going to have some integrity to our borders again. And it is important to the survival of this great nation.
Well, there are congressmen who, of course, are lining up along with activists on the left who are seeking to throw, throw some cold water on the flames of populism. And this is a congressman, John Yarmuth. I've never heard of him, but he's a Democrat from Kentucky. This is what he said.
Walls are not effective when you're out in the desert, and you don't need them. Walls are very important when you're separating two urban areas where if you actually are able to get over the border, you can probably get into the underground network in about 30 seconds. But when you're out in the middle of the desert, it makes no sense because you have border security people have up to a day to apprehend people who are crossing illegally.
Now they're sending camera crews, Dave, down to the border. They're doing the aerial shots and over the mountain ranges and the Rio Grande. You can't build a wall in the middle of the Rio. Yeah, we understand that. We get that. Okay, but you know, but they're gonna. This is what we're gonna expect in the months to come.
Well, you know, Steve Bannon and I made a film years ago called Border War.
I remember.
It was probably 8 or 9 years ago, talking about the incredible problem of the open borders and how it's affected us. So this is even before the Obama administration took hold. So this has been a problem that's been going on for decades. We finally have a leader who is willing to stand up and say it's a problem and address it as a priority. And that is sending shockwaves, shudders down the liberal spines because that's their future. Their future is the illegal immigrant movement. Ours is law and order.
Well, and I think, again, when you see the carnage in Chicago, and I was tooling around the internet last night and seeing that at a memorial service vigil for someone who just was murdered, 6 people were shot. This is just Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you know, I urge people to remember Kate, you know, from San Francisco.
Kate Steinle.
And it's just
there are many more Kates. There are many more Kates.
So many, but it's such a it's the exact bullseye of the problem is that the Obama administration of catch and release, catch and release, catch and release, and you have evil people inside of what they're. Of those folks that they're catching, and then this person ends up killing this woman for nothing, and mm-hmm. and that's what we're dealing with. Not like you said, there's a lot of Kates, but it always takes one person to crystallize the issue, and I just think that what the president was able to do with her and many of the other family members of murdered Americans by illegals has really captured. The imagination of the American people. And that's one of the reasons he was swept into office.
Well, I think so for sure. I think there's a lot of folks who are tired of political correctness, tired of feeling like they can't speak their mind without being called racist, xenophobic, protectionist, any of the ists or isms that are used to describe Americans who disagree. And when you look back on this this amazing year,
and by the way, Laura, they also want to add to that list America first. If you say,
that's anti-Semitic.
First, you are now anti-Semitic. It is unbelievable to me what the left will do to turn on its head the successful terms that we have used over the last many years.
There is a lot of complaints and criticism in the media. Surprise, surprise, about what Donald Trump thinks about crowd sizes, and he's obsessing on crowd sizes. He talked about his inauguration again last night on ABC with David Muir. I have a curious question. I don't know if you'd know the answer, but why would they decide to give the first interview to David Muir? I would never have done that. But do you know why they would do that?
You know, you always want to have, there's got to be a first, right? There's always got to be a first. And ABC in general, of the three major networks, seem to have been the best coverage of the campaign, meaning the fairest. Not that it was great, but if you look at NBC and MSNBC, you eliminate them pretty quickly. And so you really look at – it really just comes down to which network is going to be first. And once you decide on ABC, it's then which which anchor. And, you know, George Stephanopoulos still has that political edge to him from his Clinton days. So I think you have, you know, David Muir is unfortunately the go-to guy.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, part of this, and this is people learning in the White House, but I wouldn't have Trump just walking around the White House with David Muir. I would, if you want to do an interview with Muir, and I were advising it, I would say is, okay, what three things do you want to get out of this interview? What three points do you want to make? And then how do we set this interview up so those three points are conveyed clearly and that there's no venturing into other, you know, territory. I think you have to manage that stuff. You can't just have David Muir, well, you know, wandering around the Oval Office with Trump. That I'm not wild about that. That's my personal view on that. I would have probably directed that a little more clearly.
You know, that, like you said, that's going to be a learning curve. It was a learning curve during the campaign. It was a learning curve during the transition. And that'll be a learning curve in the White House.
We're talking to Dave Bossie, who's one of the architects of this victory in November for Donald Trump. Dave, the concern that many conservatives have is how Capitol Hill, not Democrats so much, because that's obvious, but how Republicans on some issues will seek to resist what Trump campaigned on and what he intends to do. What do you think the pitfalls are there?
Well, I think what the Trump administration and the Congress has to do, the conservatives within Congress have to do, is feel good about the spending. Meaning, if President Trump comes with this infrastructure bill that is highly anticipated, the conservatives are going to want to hear how's it getting paid for. So they're going to have to do their homework in managing expectations and managing exactly what the Congress is going to see before they see it. Because if they don't, you're going to have some fights on your hands that they don't need to have if they are thoughtful, if they work with the Jim Jordans and the Mark Meadows of the world and get their buy-in. Mm-hmm. This thing, you know, they have a legislative agenda that can go very smoothly. If they don't, these guys are going to stand on their conservative principles every single day, and they're not going to walk away from them just because Donald Trump wants them to. So they're going to have to work with them, whether they learn that the easy way or the hard way, is yet to be seen.
Yeah, and I think that, again, right now it's a feeling of cooperation and everybody loves one another, but sure, for the most part, except for McCain and Graham, et cetera. But I think they have to be very careful in how they deal with this Congress, and especially, I think, the establishment forces that are still very powerful, still have an enormous amount of backing, even if they don't have the majority of the Republican voters with them. And I think the Freedom Caucus, I think they should be very energized about what their role is going to be in Congress, very energized.
I think that's right, and I think that Mark Meadows, who's just one of the all-time
greats,
great, and Jim Jordan— both of those gentlemen, I think so highly of them. They're incredibly smart and incredibly principled. And then you put them up against, the mainstream Republican leadership within the House, your average committee chairman and such. You hit it right on the head. We're going to get rolled if we're not paying attention. And so we're going to lose a little bit of our edge and some of our agenda. And I think that that's the thing that Steve Bannon will be looking for inside the White House every day. I think Steve will keep that ship righted every minute of every day. And I think that it's important that he has the support network to really run a conservative populist agenda that he's really developed with the president.
Right, the support inside the White House and outside the White House, because there are divisions in there, like every White House. Nothing new. It was divisions when I worked in the last few years of the Reagan administration. That's nothing new to the way the White House works. Dave Bossie, just one of the great Americans. We appreciate you so much. Come back anytime. The door is always open. We love your analysis, and we'll see you soon, Dave.
Thanks so much.
All right, and of course he's the president and chairman of Citizens United. And just we owe a debt of gratitude to everything Bossie, for everything Bossie did for this campaign and for this country. We'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.